One man, two, actually two men, are reviewing trailers.
This time we have Birds of Prey, Emma, Sonic the Hedgehog, Bloodshot, The Call of the Wild, Bad Trip, and Fantasy Island.
The Fantasy Foamlings, trailers, coming next.
Welcome to the technically February 2020 Trailers Podcast.
Yes,
but this is the first one that we've done for the new year.
Recording
in the new year, but this is actually looking at the second month of the new year. It's confusing, but not as confusing as pre-trailer trailers, which continue to annoy me and are my massive bugbear. The last thing I want to know is what's happening in the trailer that I'm about to look at on a trailer. I went and saw Star Wars last month, right?
Right.
Do you know what trailer they showed at Star Wars?
No.
Star Wars.
Seriously?
Yeah, we're sitting there and they showed the full final trailer for Star Wars before they showed the Star Wars film. Which point you kind of went, if I've been the person who has avoided all trailers for the film, I've sat down, I've gone, right, I'll remove my noise-cancelling headphones and everything, I'm ready to go, and it goes, coming soon. As it finished, the one in front of me kind of goes, oh yeah, we should totally go and see that. And I was like, well played, love. Well played. But that's not what we're going to do here.
Yeah.
But new year.
Yes.
New time.
Yes.
Now, for long-time listeners, first of all, if you've just joined us, welcome. This is the Trailers Podcast. So the whole point of this section of this podcast is to look at some of the films that are coming out in the next month.
Yep.
And to give you a bit of an idea of what we think of them, only in terms of their quality, which obviously is only our opinion, but also in terms of how well we think they'll do on the Fantasy Film League game. It's all about how well we think they'll score, both in the US and the UK box office, and kind of give you some idea of whether we think that the cast involved will be top billing cast, will be supporting cast, or will be either voice or, hey, isn't that
yes, this is hits. Where you this is where you get some tips on who to pick for
well,
your next fantasy
yeah,
films.
But we're not, I mean, it's not exactly, we're not, you know, experts. So, I mean, take our advice.
We've
with
only been running the game for almost 20 years.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, God, I'm old. But what we'd suggest you do is we're going to reveal the film, have a look at the trailer yourself, see what you think. We'll give you our opinions, and then we'll kind of move on from there. So, but for longer time listeners, you'll know that generally I run this because Smith can't be trusted to pick trailers. However, in the spirit of 2020,
in the picking.
New decade, it's the future. I've decided you're going to run the show completely for this episode.
What?
No, I've not done any research. I've not looked at any trailers.
Are you serious?
I'm going to leave it completely to you. So, all I'm saying is you better end on something either extremely good or extremely stupid. That's the rule, but that's like your bonus episode. But, you know, you've got to bounce between stupid and highbrow and interesting, and will it do well in the US? Will it do well in the UK? You've got to weave a narrative. So with no warning, go.
Okay, we'll do... check.
Come on.
Birds of Prey.
Nice. So to clarify, mm-hmm. Harley Quinn's superpower is she's crazy, right?
Pretty
much. She's not like super strong, or she can fly, or she can got like shoot lasers. She's just bananas.
I think it's bananas plus ready accessibility of high explosives. I think
right.
That's pretty much.
That's fair. I mean,
and a wicked looking hammer.
That hammer was quite comedic. It yeah. reminded me of Timmy Mallett from the early to the late 1980s. Wow, that's a deep cut. So Margot Robbie was arguably the best thing in Suicide Squad.
By a country mile.
Yes. However, that's not necessarily a good thing, because Suicide Squad was a steaming pile of rubbish, generally speaking. But it looks like they've just gone all girl power on this.
Yeah, it looks like it could be fun.
I think it could be fun.
Sort of a reasonable cast. I mean, people...
So you've got Margot Robbie, you've got Mary Elizabeth Winstead, you've got Rosie Perez, you've got Hugh McGregor as the bad guy, by the looks of it.
Yep.
And probably a few more.
The only other person that we've got in the system right now is Cathy Yan.
Okay. So I've read recently that they've absolutely promised that Jared Leto will not be in this film. Now, that is a weird statement to make. Look, okay, guys, look. We promise... that Jared Leto and his Joker is not going to be in this film, okay? So you can go and see it. There's not going to be a cameo. Is there going to be? There's not. We promise that he's not going to show up.
As if that was the problem with Suicide Squad.
It was one of the problems with Suicide Squad. Mm. His characterization of the Joker did not go down well with the fanboys.
Subsequently, we've had a bit of a reset on that as well.
We have. So
in the meantime.
But yeah, so this looks... It looks fun.
I think it's going to be fairly... I would hope that it will be fairly disposable in a good way.
Yes.
As in, like, not... It's not... It's having fun. It's not getting too serious. Or at least that's the way the trailer is selling it. Now, we know that what trailers say.
Absolutely.
And film
there is
like
an entire art form around producing trailers. So
they can be very different.
So we often say that there's the 4 weeks of winning, which is effectively a very rough yardarm of how long a film needs to last in the top 10.
A successful film
in order for it to basically generate profit for you. Margot Robbie is clearly the most expensive person on that list. I think it'll do well. I think it'll come in.
Right now, Margot is at 10 million.
Yeah, which I think is fair. She's obviously just done Bombshell as well, which is coming out in the same month. So if you've got Margot in for January, you might want to hang on to it for February. I think she'll make her money back from Bombshell. I think Bombshell's a slow burner. I think Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn will come in quite strong, and I think it'll fade away quite quickly. I think it'll come in at like 2 or 3 in the box office, depending on how quiet it is, and then I think it'll just gradually fade in. I think it might get it to 4 weeks, but it might not. So yeah, I think if you've got Margot Robbie in already, then Birds of Prey is a bonus. But I wouldn't necessarily... I don't think Birds of Prey will generate you your $10 million back.
I actually think Mary Elizabeth Winstead is an interesting one to watch, because I think this is not her only film.
No, because this film was made last year. So this film's... There's been a bit of a gap between... Because this film was finished, I think, at the tail end of last year. So they've all gone off and done other things. But yeah, no, it should be...
Yeah, we've seen her recently. So there was The Parts You Lose and also Gemini Man. So she seems to be quite active at the moment.
Yeah.
So she might be worth a bit of research, I reckon.
And Ewan McGregor's always good.
He did pretty well last year.
He did, yep.
Yep.
So, okay.
All right, we should carry on. Okay, right. So next up, you said I've got to keep like changing directions, highs and lows.
It helps if you just don't go like a stupid comic book.
I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go from that. We're going to go to Emma. I feel I pulled a good change of direction there.
You have.
Because we went from like fairly lowbrow comic book to sort of highbrow.
Highbrow, kind of farcical kind of
comic. Yes, so this is Emma, which is one of the Bronte sisters.
One of the Brontes, yeah. Now, this film's been done several times because I think...
Because it's been out of copyright for a long time, so
yes, I think Gwyneth Paltrow did this about 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Emma Thompson may have also been in it or in the same thing. So this is a story oft told.
I mean, to be honest, all of this stuff kind of blends together to me. And I can't, this is not my kind of film.
Unless it's Downton Abbey.
Unless it's Downton Abbey, but I think we can leave that in 2019.
We'll leave that in 2019. Yep. So this is another version of Emma.
Starring Anya Taylor-Joy, who this time last year was in Glass.
Oh, yeah.
Which turned out to be quite successful, as we talked about last time.
Indeed. Despite the, anyway, as discussed. So I don't know how I feel about this film. It's already been done. It's the kind of thing that you'd expect it to be as a two-parter on a PBS or BBC America or BBC over the Christmas holidays.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily need to be a theatrical release. There's nothing
And
new.
It's kind of hot on the heels of Little Women as well.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I don't know. It's not... I find it hard to know how this is going to do.
Do you think people are going to suffer from corset fatigue?
I know I would. Oh, especially after Christmas. The only person who I've got eyes for, as it were, who's in the system is Bill Nighy, who's awesome. The trailer just says Emma and then goes at some point.
Bill Nighy is a good buy for this because he turns up in... Basically, he is part of the Jim Broadbent collective, which means he or Jim Broadbent have to be in every British film ever made. It's like the law, apparently. I don't know. I think that's going to...
And then I think you've got the director, Autumn de Wilde.
Yeah.
I can't... I think the thing, the only upside is that all of these people are relatively inexpensive.
Yes, so it might be worth a punt.
So they could be good sort of filler material. Yeah. If you bought out the cast of Harley Quinn or something already and you're like in there, but you've got a slot free, maybe this is worth a look.
Drop someone in from that. And these films tend to do reasonably well in both sides of the Atlantic. The US market seems to like these kind of
costumey,
drama-y things, but only a little bit. And then the UK is the same. So I can't see it. If it was an original one...
I don't
see
much immediate competition for this.
Yeah, if it was an original costume drama farcical thing, or it was a lesser-known adaptation of another Bronte story, then yeah, but I mean, it's been done. It's
Yeah. Okay. I think that's all we're going to say now.
Can we move from the sublime to the ridiculous?
I'm going to go for another change of direction.
Okay.
And now we're going to go for a video game inspired film. We're going to have Sonic the Hedgehog.
So the main story about Sonic the Hedgehog, obviously, is the fact that it should have come out 6 months ago.
Yes.
But they released a trailer with terrifying Sonic CGI.
And I can't remember if we talked about it at the time, but it was terrifying.
It was a bold choice. Because
I think we categorized it at the time as a lazy choice, yes, or a low production value.
It looked
choice.
Bad. It also didn't look enough like the original character. Anyway,
it didn't look cartoony.
The internet went bananas. Like, yeah. I mean, we're talking about like girl is now playing the doctor.
I mean,
bananas.
we thought it was bad, and then the cats thing happened. But you know, that's
true.
That's
in fairness,
the, kind of completely the, overshadowed.
Yeah, this is a close second. No, this is a distant second to the epic CGI. Oh my god, is that Taylor Swift as a sexy cat? Anyway, we've covered that. Yeah, so this film should have been out 6 months ago. It does look quite silly, though. Jim Carrey is in it, and he is on full on manic Jim Carrey form.
Literal moustache twirling.
Moustache twirling bad guy. No idea what the plot is. Sonic has travelled from another universe or something to rescue a MacGuffin. It doesn't really matter. There's going to be jokes. There's going to be running around. There's going to be...
If it's good, it'll be like Detective Pikachu.
Yes.
Which is basically Deadpool Light.
Yes.
But I don't think it is. I think it's more the whack end. It reminds me of Street Fighter. That's what it reminds me of. Do you remember Street Fighter from the 90s?
I didn't watch Street Fighter. Even I went, Kylie Murray was in that, and even I drew the line.
Very, very camp. And I think this is what this will be.
You think it might be too
and
camp?
I think the thing is, I don't know. I don't think you can be for something like this.
Okay.
I think it's sort of safe for something when you're doing a video game thing. I think it may end up with like a bit of a cult following is my guess.
Right.
But it seems to be like from the sound and stuff and now from the visual design, it's got quite, they're keeping it really close to the game and true to the game in many
they've
respects.
They've also timed it really well. This comes out in the UK during what we call half term.
Yeah.
Which is probably called, it's not spring break.
Spring break! That's what we have to say every time somebody says spring break.
Whoop, whoop.
Apparently.
No.
That's not how we understand it.
Yeah, right? That's pretty much what we think. But basically, all the kids will be looking for something to do for a week between in school. And this is when this film drops, which means everyone will take their tiresome children to come and see Sonic the Hedgehog. So it will do, I think it'll come in quite strong, and then I think it'll fade away.
Doesn't have much competition.
So James Marsden's in it, who's always good for a gamble. If you're playing one and done, he might be quite a good choice. He turns up in a fair few films. He's a bit of a journeyman in terms of he's never led a film, but he's always been in there.
Mm.
Jim Carrey's been a very quiet of late. He kind of disappeared for a while, but maybe he's back.
We will see.
We will see.
And we've got the director, Jeff Fowler in there as well.
So could be one to watch. Again, I think a bit like Emma, if you've got a spare slot and you've maxed out your money, then Jim Carrey might be good. He'll probably be...
You're going to want Jim or Jeff, because you're going to want... Or any of those guys. You're going to want someone who's top billing, really.
Yes.
Right? We don't have to worry about the voice. I mean, obviously we covered some
the voice
last time.
We don't need to worry
about
the voice. The voice of Sonic isn't Ryan Reynolds, is what we're saying. So
yeah.
Don't worry about that. If it was, it would be awesome. But yeah. There we go.
Don't know. A gamble for me.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Would this be a good time to take an ad break? So, did you guys have Fantasy Island here?
I have no idea. We've got Love Island.
No. Although, no. So Fantasy Island was an American TV show in the 70s.
Right.
Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Was in it. And remember the guy, Tuk Tuk, who was the Christopher Lee's assistant in The Man with the Golden Gun. So these two guys lived on an island, and every week someone would arrive by seaplane, and they'd have their greatest fantasy fulfilled. And it was always very kind of good, clean stuff. It wasn't like porny. It was all...
Which is where our brains was going.
It was all kind of like, you know, I've always wanted to be a rock star. And then there was a musical guest. And it was a really tame, primetime Saturday evening thing that the family watched. But I don't think you had it here.
No.
So that's my first problem with Fantasy Island.
I
don't think it was on... Now, I watched it for reasons we can't go into. A, being foreign. This isn't it. So what they've done is they've gone, what if we took Fantasy Island... See, if you're going to re-spin Fantasy Island from wholesome Ricardo Montalban wish fulfillment for people on a Saturday afternoon, you can go two directions. Porny... or torture porn. And they've gone...
I was going to say, or straight. You could just do the same thing.
No, because it would be a PG and it would be rubbish.
Right, okay.
So they've basically gone the torture porn route.
And this is a... I noticed that this is a Blumhouse production, therefore, you know, it's in the... It's like... did they do Get Out and all
they did,
those films?
Yeah, which
and
they actually mentioned in
like,
the
thing.
So a group of young, beautiful
horror
people.
Horror movies, basically.
A group of young, beautiful people are brought to the island to have their greatest fantasy fulfilled. It all looks like it's going quite well, but actually it's not. It's actually a trap or a thing or a... I don't care. yeah.
Oh, this I just remember what this reminds me of. I watched a film just recently... And now we're going to have the sound of Mr. Smith trying to remember a thing, which is incredibly boring.
I'll come back
to it in a minute. You talk a bit more and I'll...
No, we can do a quick musical break.
It's the one, it's about a bride who's getting married. And it's another Blumhouse one. It's like 90 minute long exploitation film. It came out last year. Watched it on Netflix.
I don't watch Blumhouse movies.
Yeah, they can be a bit of schlocky fun.
Okay. Point being, though, is this film is reliant on you knowing what the original Fantasy Island film... Or the
Fantasy, do you think?
I think it's trying to get you, hook you in on the nostalgia, and then it tries to gouge your eyes out with torture porn.
The thing is, I think these films play... If you look at the cut, I think they play relatively young. I don't think there's anyone alive... No, hang on, that's not
anyone,
right. Anyone who's likely to watch it who would have been alive at the time.
I'm with you.
I don't think there's anyone alive who remembers.
Well, except me, because I'm 400 years old.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah,
right?
No, I know what you mean. But I don't think... These kind of tortury movies don't do very well anyway. They tend to lurk in the bottom half of the top tens. Now, the fact that it's called Fantasy Island might give it an initial bump in the US, but it's not going to help in the UK. So I would be very... It comes out on Valentine's Day because, you know, it's...
Oh, my goodness. There could be some really traumatized people who accidentally go into this movie thinking it's going to be one
exactly.
thing.
But there's
it's,
a few
it's,
people...
It's the new couple's retreat.
There's a
no, f-
there's
no,
a
it's
few
not.
People in here. They're like, Maggie Q's in it, Michael Pena's in it,
right.
Michael Rooker's in it, and that's about it, really.
And in the system, we've only got Michael Pena and Jeff... Wadlow.
So who's the director? So we'll add in Maggie Q and Michael Rooker into that film because it probably just hasn't picked them up. Again, it's filler. I wouldn't bet the farm on this, but you might if you're playing one and done. Michael Pena arguably could be a thing.
I mean, he's pretty inexpensive.
He is pretty inexpensive, and he's pretty much everywhere. And
he's kind of good. Well, when he turns up, he's good value for me.
I like him for his stream of consciousness thinking in Ant-Man. I think that's just his best work. But anyway, meh. I'm distinctly meh about that. So come on, give me something else.
Okay, let's see if I can give you something a bit more substantial.
Give me something a bit more, because we've had like loads of films in January. They're all kind of big, big films. Now, is February the new dumping zone for films?
I don't know.
So
here's another one that I'm not sure where to place.
All right, hit me.
Let's go. It is The Call of the Wild.
Ooh.
Okay. According to the trailer, this is based on the legendary novel that I've never heard of.
Well, if it's based on the legendary novel, it's also based on the legendary 1972 film starring Charlton Heston. It's then based on the legendary TV series that was in 2000. And then it was also based on... there's another Call of the Wild, but that's from 2000. So this is a remake of a TV series, which itself was a remake of an original film, which itself was based on a legendary novel that neither you nor I have ever heard of.
Because it's legendary. Right. So this appears to be Dog goes to the...
Dog gets abducted and sent to Alaska, where he meets Harrison Ford, who likes to live on his own and not talk to people, so it's Harrison Ford, and then has CGI-based adventures.
With going down a river and fighting a bear running away from wolves. And that's as far as I can tell, that's the complete plot, according to the trailer.
So the dog is CGI'd?
Yeah.
Or is primarily CGI? Yeah.
Well, I did hear that Andy Serkis has done the mocap for it.
Don't. We'll get calls. This looks really weird. But you're right. Karen Gillan's listed in this. Harrison Ford. Bradley Whitford's in there. Dan Stevens is in there.
Yeah.
But they're all going to be playing second fiddle to the dog.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even sure that if Harrison Ford is going to be like starring, or if it is like how much of the story. I mean, okay, he's on the poster. In fact, he's on the poster twice, like big close up of his face.
Oh, yeah,
and he's walking through the.
That is a Liam Neeson esque poster. That is.
It is.
The only thing
indeed,
he's missing now is a gun. Has he got a gun in his hand?
Probably in his backpack, unfortunately. Excellent. But not visible. But okay. Okay, so he's probably top billing in this. But everyone else is very much supporting in the background, far away.
Yeah.
This sounds like it's a bit like Fantasy Island. People in the UK are gonna be like, huh? What this?
Yeah.
People in the US may or may not be nostalgic for Charlton Heston.
So if you are listening to this and you are one of our actually predominant US listeners, because we've done the research, can you let us know what this is? We've literally never heard of this novel, and apparently it's a legendary novel. This is going to, as you've just said, this is going to do probably okay in the States.
Lopsided at best, I think.
Yeah, and it's not going to do well in the UK. I mean, people aren't going to flock to it because it's Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Right, you've...
Yeah, I think we need to... You know what, we need to lighten this up. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay, go on then.
Now I think it's time for a bad trip.
No.
I am so sorry.
No.
I had no idea
that
what
that
was.
That is a stupid film. So that is first of all, it's got the two things I hate, semi-scripted.
Oh.
It looks like they've weaved a plot around three idiots pulling pranks on unsuspecting members of the public.
Yeah, as
so they'll do a scene, but everyone in the scene who's an extra is actually a member of the public who's unsuspecting that they're going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one died making this film.
Yeah.
Because if you shot this in the UK, people would probably get beaten up. If you shot this in the US, people might get shot because they're pulling stuff that is properly out. Just no.
Yeah.
No, that's
like
going
to... People escape, pretending to escape from prison.
You're going to get jumped on if you do that. You're going to get beaten up. If you saw someone coming out of a tunnel,
I'm surprised
prison overalls, you'd run away or you'd be a have-a-go guy and you'd go there and pummel that person.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm actually genuinely surprised we don't see we didn't see this first in headlines of, star die. Tiffany Haddish dies in tragic filming accident.
That's
a headline, right?
That's absolutely stupid. That's not being released. That won't get a release.
It's only currently in the system. It's only got a release date for the US. I'm not surprised.
I don't think it'll even make it to a US.
Tiffany Haddish is the only person in it.
Eric Andre is quite funny, but again,
he's not in the system.
He's not.
So do you know what?
He's not gone.
Let's not waste any more time talking
about
that.
Right, you have failed. I've given you responsibility for the trailers, and you've given me Fantasy Island horror remake. You've given me a legendary novel that no one's ever bloody heard of. And you've given me effectively what looks like a prank show that they've tried to release cinematically. I'm going to call it February's the new rubbish month. February's got to be the new dump month.
Well, okay. I've got one last gamble. One last roll of the dice. Two words for you.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
All right, go on then.
It's the new Vin Diesel movie.
That's more than two words.
Okay. That was Bloodshot.
Okay, we're back.
And I think you'll agree that's a fairly strong closing trailer.
So it starts like your standard hero. You've been brought back from the dead. You got superpowers. Blah, 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 blah. Guy Pearce turns up. He's obviously not the bad guy. Guy Pearce is fine. And then you kind of go, holy crap, it's Memento. And yes. Guy Pearce is on the giving end this time. So effectively, Vin Diesel is a rebuilt super soldier, but they're using him to basically as a kill list. So they keep resurrecting him, thinking
It looks Groundhog Day.
He keeps waking up thinking that some guy killed his wife, which is a bit memento-y. He goes off and kills Guy. They then reset him and then Photoshop a new guy in, and they're using him to basically kill people off, which looks really interesting. It's also got not a bad cast as well. So there's a few people in there.
Because you always got to worry with Vin Diesel about, you don't want to ask him to do too much acting. I mean, the action, he is there, but you've got to... And I think they're surrounding him with some quality acting people.
I think that is a...
But it's the idea. It's that. It's like Live, Die, Repeat, whatever that movie was with Tom Cruise. It's like doing the same thing over and over again. It's got that strong sci-fi idea behind it.
Every time they repeat the loop, something fresh happens. It looks interesting. So who have we got? We've got Guy Pearce, Vin Diesel, obviously. I saw Toby Kebbell in there, but I don't think he lasts very long.
And he's not in the system for the FFL.
Okay. Who else is in there?
According to Whopper, at least right now, we have Michael Sheen. Directed by some dude called Dave Wilson.
Never heard of him.
No.
That could be good. So, I mean, have we got another Fast and Furious coming out this year?
I don't know.
Because I know that they're...
filming
it.
But this was a good project for him to do. This is what he was doing while Hobbs and Shaw was being cranked out by that.
Yeah, there is going to be a Fast and Furious 9 this year.
Mm.
So...
Well, that means we're going to the cinema.
Yeah, obviously. So this could be a double shot. So I don't think that you'll be able to stretch it, but whether you can get...
So for one and done people...
If you're a one and done, Vin Diesel could be...
I mean, obviously this podcast might be a little bit late for you, but if you're a little bit slow off the starting blocks with one and done...
Vin Diesel's your man.
Do some research.
Definitely a good one.
Because as we know, the Fast and Furious movies are typically pretty reliable.
They stick around. Yeah. That's the thing. And this film could also stick around because I think this film will come in quite strong and then people will kind of go...
Do you know what? I'm almost more interested in this than Birds of Prey.
Yes,
right.
I am
as well. To
sort of
close the circle on what we've seen today.
Yeah, this looks like it's actually got more.
This is my favorite of the lot of.
Yeah,
of,
no, you've done okay. You've given us some real rubbish ones, but in fairness,
roller coaster wise, I've sort of taken you all the way down.
Clearly, February's not the best month, but Bloodshot's definitely the one I'm seeing. I mean, I'll see Birds of Prey as well, but Bloodshot I'll definitely queue up for. That looks like it's got stupid, shooty, slowy motion, blowy up bits. But then it's also, underneath, it'll make you go,
there'll be some twistiness.
It's a bit twisty.
Yeah.
So,
I do like Guy Pearce. He seems to be slowly segueing into, like, this sort of decade's Alan Rickman, don't you think?
He is doing quite well, yeah. He looks like a Tom Cruise who isn't quite as intense, but also he could also be the bad guy. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's one to watch as well.
But, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Right, okay. Yes. So that's... Okay, well, there you go. There's a couple of pointers for
I'm
you.
I was really starting to sweat there.
You managed to pull out of the fire, mate, at the last minute, honestly. So that's it. So we're back in 2 weeks' time for the main podcast.
Yep.
In the meantime, you can find us on our Discord group. You can follow us on @TheFFL
on the Twitter.
If you would like to, you can obviously sponsor us on our Patreon page. More about that in the main podcast. And we will see you in 2 weeks' time. So thank you for listening and see you next time.